Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hang on, somebody messed with all my stuff. I gotta move
all my stuff. Where's my stuff? There's my stuff. There's some more of my stuff over there. There we go. Okay, I think all my stuff's adjusted. I've successfully adjusted my stuff. My stuff was in a weird spot. I had to move it around a little bit, but now my stuff is good.
It's because Diesel's getting older and he has to make things a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the truth. As we all are getting older, we have to change how we do things just a little bit to accommodate, you know,
the elderly,
those creaks and cricks and things that you get.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Again, it's the Fan Upstate, 6 till 10 a.m. every single weekday with me, Rob Brown, and he, the great one, Lonzo. Welcome in, everyone. Spectacular to have you once again. And as always, we appreciate your being here. I hope you are well. I hope you had a fantastic Tuesday. I hope you are set up to have a fantastic Wednesday. We have plenty to get to on the radio program today. We have got, obviously, the NFL playoffs divisional weekend set up. Last night, I was on BetMGM Tonight. I gave out 2 upset picks again. I got 5 of 6 games correct this past weekend. We'll see if I can do it again or better this weekend.
Houston messed you up, did they?
Houston messed me up, did they? That is correct. And by the way, Houston.
Houston messed a lot of people up.
Yeah, good on Houston. Were the Chargers the most disappointing team in the first round?
They weren't supposed to be there yet.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same time, like, they were there. And they had a pretty healthy swath of those of us that have microphones and talk for a living, believing that they had I don't want to say reached the zenith because they haven't, but had turned a corner to be in there. And here come the Texans, a squad that hasn't had a healthy wide receiver core all year. Good team. Nobody's dismissing that, but a team that certainly didn't have the same fire as they did last year. And it's not even that the Chargers lost. It's that the Chargers got flat out beat.
Yeah, the Houston team of last year showed up finally for the first time this year.
I think that's fair. The Houston team that showed up was what the Houston team was from last year for the first time this year. I don't disagree with that at all. So I'm intrigued. I'm interested. I want to see how that plays out. I want to see. Do you think the Texans can do that again?
Well, I hope not.
Well, okay, fair enough. I don't think for a second that it.
If they do, I will root for them the rest of the way. But we'll see.
I was on BetMGM tonight last night. The reason I bring this up, I was on BetMGM tonight last night. I am every Tuesday at 8:20 because, you know, they say, hey, this Rob Brown fella knows ball. We should have him on to talk ball. So I go on and talk ball on Tuesday evenings at 8:20. And we were kind of kicking it around a little bit, Brad Evans and Ryan Horvath and myself. And I pointed out that I did pretty good in round one. 5 of 6 in terms of straight up winners. 5 of 6 in terms of winners against the spread too. Five of six against the spread went Rob Brown. Pretty good day. Brad said, you got any upsets in round two? I said, I've got two of them. Great when they're both out of the NFC. I think I've seen enough out of the Rams to believe that this team can pull an upset. And I am not pulling for, although to keep it a buck, I am a little pulling for it. Because the more that this kid wins, the more I look like a stinking genius. Am I nuts for thinking there's actually a chance Washington, with the Detroit defense being banged up as it is, am I nuts for thinking there's a chance that the Washington Commanders with Jaden Daniels can cause enough chaos to keep Detroit's offense on the sideline and keep it a lower scoring game than they'd like? There's something about Washington and the way that Jaden Daniels can reset against pressure. I think if Jaden Daniels was Jared Goff, like if we flip the two quarterbacks, I don't think there's a chance. But Jaden Daniels being what he is and the Rams playing defensively the way they play. Listen, they wrecked Minnesota. And a lot of people looked at that Week 18 win against the Vikings and said, okay, the Lions are them, right? Like, that's them. They're that good. And my thought this entire time has kind of been, yeah, like, they're good. I'm not dismissing that in any way, shape, or form. But, man, I think that had to do more with the Vikings being exposed, which is why one of my five out of six correct picks was the upset win of the Rams over the Vikings. And again, Lonzo pointed out, and I think it's fair, that with all the emotion going on around that game, with all the emotion going on around Los Angeles, the Rams had a little bit of extra gasoline in the tank to smoke Minnesota. But I also think Minnesota got exposed. I kind of think, and I said this in week, well, I said it going into the Detroit game, that I thought there was a chance. Not that it would. I regret it. I wish I'd have just committed to the bit and said they would, because then I'd have looked like an even more stinking genius. But I said after that game, I said, I think Minnesota's gotten exposed here, to be honest with you. I think we know who they are now. And yes, it's hard to get to 14-3 and be a fraud. But I think they were a bit of a fraud. There's a lot I like about Minnesota. There's a lot I like about them. I like the defense. I love the skill position set. The skill position set got Kirk Cousins paid. And it damn near got Sam Darnold paid. In fact, I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say this respectfully because I do like the guy. I don't have anything against him. I think the skill position set and the coaching in Minnesota is so good that they got even the smartest amongst us, even the stinkiest geniuses amongst us, to believe in Sam Darnold when Sam Darnold just is Sam Darnold. Like, all year, what was the conversation we had about NFL quarterbacks this year? Oh, look at Baker Mayfield. Look at Sam Darnold. Couple of quarterbacks that, you know, went through some bad franchises. They went through a bad franchise with the New York Jets, did Sam Darnold. Went through two bad franchises in Cleveland and Carolina, did Baker Mayfield. And look at them. They land with a good franchise that develops and strategizes for their quarterbacks. And all of a sudden, these two dudes are dudes once again. And it turns out, now maybe Baker Mayfield just is a good quarterback. I think Sam Darnold, just like I said was going to be revealed about Kirk Cousins, got carried a lot of the way. And those last two games, Detroit, Los Angeles, the blueprint got put out there. Hey, yo, if you blitz this guy, if you put him under a bunch of pressure, if you really get to him, he freaks out. And it kind of did. There was, to his credit, there were some good throws from Sam Darnold down the stretch. He also had, like, on a third and 14 in the fourth quarter, took off running, looked like damn Michael Vick for no reason. But They were down, what, 21 at that point? 24, whatever it was they were down at that point? Like, it didn't matter. It was too little, too late. The Rams weren't bringing that same pressure anymore. So the point here is, there's a lot I really like about the Minnesota Vikings for their future. But they're just going to have to go get a franchise quarterback. They just are. How much better, and I mean this, how much better would the Vikings have been last year, would the Vikings have been this year, if everything was the same, but they had a legitimate, I'm not even asking for like a Josh Allen type. I'm asking just a good quarterback, because we've now seen where Kirk Cousins is and Sam Darnold are.
You're discounting the draft pick that they got.
Okay, let's be clear. Yes, I don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. Okay. Do you?
I don't know. I haven't seen him on the field.
I don't believe in J.J. McCarthy.
I mean, I have seen him on the field in college, but I haven't seen him on the field in the pros,
yeah.
And who knows?
I don't believe in J.J. McCarthy, but because I believe accountability is important, I didn't believe in Bo Nix either. And Bo Nix got that team to the Super Bowl.
And how many people believed in Patrick Mahomes?
Sure.
I mean, I'm not saying
that
he's any
of those. Hell, the Chiefs didn't believe in Patrick Mahomes until he went out there and Mahomes.
No, I disagree. They held him back for a year, let him get his feet under him, and they had a really good quarterback already.
So they had a good quarterback.
It was really good at the time. They were in the playoffs and stuff. They couldn't get over the hump to win a Super Bowl, but they were in the playoffs every year with Alex Smith.
They had a good quarterback, a commendable quarterback for sure. But I will say all of this to say that. It doesn't really matter I don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. But I also didn't believe in Bo Nix. And Bo Nix has balled out this year. I didn't believe in Drake May. Drake May balled out this year. I think Drake May got, well, I don't want to say it is on him. I think Drake May ended up getting Jerod Mayo fired. Because I think the Patriots believe that, like, oh, we stumbled into a franchise quarterback here. And we don't want to do like the Bills did and waste 7-8 years of primetime QBing, developing everything else around a head coach who's never done it before and is going into year two. Like, we want to go get a guy who's been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And, of course, just like I said that they would, the Patriots, I think, wanted Vrabel and believed that if they offered the job to him, Vrabel would sign. And he did. And he did. Mike Vrabel's the head coach of the Patriots now. Jerod Mayo didn't get fired because he's a bad coach. He got fired because the Patriots looked and they went, we screwed up last year not getting Mike Vrabel, and we have a chance to make it right. And if we pass on that chance, he's going to go be the head coach of, like, Cincinnati. He's going to be the head coach of Vegas. And if that happens, and he is the dude we think he's going to be, we'll never get the chance to bring him here. So let's go ahead, bite the bullet, whatever the expression is. Let's go ahead and bite the bullet, make a tough decision to fire Jerod Mayo, and go get Mike Vrabel. And I really believe, even though they're technically not supposed to have, I absolutely believe they had a conversation with Vrabel before they fired Jerod Mayo. Like, we're only firing this guy if you are going to commit to us now that you'll sign the contract. And I think that agreement was in place.
Well, I'm guessing the owner and Robert Kraft and Vrabel are boys. So, I mean, they probably text back and forth and stuff like that, you know? Just talking with your guy, and it just happened to come up.
Sure, and Bob Kraft was like, look, I'm making this decision if and only if there's going to be a happy ending to this story. That's the only way I'm doing it.
Yep, that's how he does things. Yeah. Yes.
So, Bob, put all that aside. I think the reason they made the switch, aside from all of that, is, hey, we're better off than we thought we were. We drafted this guy. We didn't know he was going to be. Turns out Drake May's got a bit of that dog in him. So let's go get our guy now, and let's see if we can point this in the right direction now. And they made the move. That's fine. I honestly did not see Drake May or Bo Nix being him. And it turns out they both got a bit of that dog in him. And since they both got a bit of that dog in him, my question is this. How much better are the Vikings if Drake May was the quarterback there? I'll tell you right now, and I mean this. I'm not being facetious. If the Vikings had a Drake May at quarterback, they probably lose another game or two in the regular season that they won because Sam Darnold's got some experience. But if they got a Drake May in there as the QB, I think the Vikings don't just beat the Rams. I think the Vikings might be an NFC favorite coming out. With the Lions being banged up as they are. And I know Lions fans are probably tired of hearing about that. Oh, the injuries. We keep losing. The injuries. We keep losing. And that's all well and good. But that's reality, dude. Like, that's where you are. That's what your team is right now. The reality of this whole thing is that your team is exceptionally banged up, and it is going to impact what you're capable of doing. And so if I take that and I put that up against a quarterback that's got the opportunity to get to the outside and can make defenses miss like Jaden Daniels can, I think there's blood for an upset there. I do. I think there's blood for an upset there. We're going to talk about that. Zach said, I heard yesterday the poster boy of wins and losses are not a quarterback stat is Sam Darnold. I chuckled. Well, number one, I don't know who said that, but they're a genius. They're absolutely branded knower of ball, because while I have not thought about that, totally agreed. Totally agreed. I'd put Kirk Cousins in that exact same spot for the exact same reason. I put both of them into the same spot for the same reason. Poster boy for wins and losses are not quarterback stats. But we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Coming up on the show today, we have got a gazillion things that we got to get to on the program. We're going to keep talking some National Football League for the next 4 hours. We got to talk some college football. It is official. Clemson's hired a defensive coordinator, Tom Allen, on his way down from Penn State. The school made that press release yesterday. We'll tell you who Tom Allen is and why I love this hire. Not just about what Tom Allen brings to the football team, but what it says about Dabo and what it says about the program at large. We'll talk about that coming up later in the show. South Carolina Gamecock basketball team on the road at Vanderbilt tonight. This is a season-making or breaking game for Lamont Paris's fellas. But even if they lose, and even if they are not a tournament team this year, I'm going to tell you why. It's not time to freak out about Lamont Paris. It's not time to freak out about Gamecock basketball, because you are in a rock and a hard spot right now. So we'll talk about that coming up later on in the show. Denton Day coming up this morning at 7:40, 7:20. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, will join us on the show. All that coming up. Rob Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number. 844-FANFONE. If you'd like to be on the air, shoot us a text message on that same number, 844-326-3663. Shoot me a tweet at The Rob Brown Show. Shoot the great one a tweet at Lonzo on Word, and get at all of us at The Fan Upstate. If you want to get at us in that direction, you're certainly welcome to. You can also leave a, drop me an email, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com, and you can get at us, what am I missing? Or the Ray Memorial Hotline. Almost forgot about the Ray Memorial Hotline. Grab the Audacy app, AUDACY. Go to the Fan Upstate page, click the heart button so that you are automatically subscribed, and on the Fan Upstate page on the Audacy app, AUDACY.
So much for gone, but not forgotten. RIP, Ray. Jeez, Rob.
I know. I almost forgot. How would we have people leaving us messages telling us to stick to sports if we didn't have the Ray Memorial Hotline? Go to the Audacy app, AUDACY. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the leave a voice message button and drop us an up to 60-second voice note that comes directly to the great one and I. We'd love to have you knock that out so that we can make you a part of the show. But the phone line and text line are open. They are the same number in 2025, 844-326-3663. All right. Here is your opportunity, Lonzo, and all the rest of you. Here is your opportunity to call Josh Allen a liar, if you would like to do so. Zoe sent me a clip yesterday. I'm not going to play it because it's like 2 minutes long. But Nick Wright on Fox Sports, who is like a junior hot take artist. He hasn't really elevated himself up to the top tier of hot takes, but he's working on it. And I commend him for it. You know, sometimes you got to play the game, and Nick Wright plays the game as well as, not as well as everybody else, but he's working on it. He put up a video on First Things First, which is the Fox Sports show, and basically said that Josh Allen this past weekend, as during their 31-7 win over the Denver Broncos, the head official in that game, at one point, was put on camera over on the sideline in the face of Josh Allen. And some people have speculated that the official was apologizing to Josh Allen for a missed call that Josh Allen was very demonstrative about in that game. I'm going to keep it a bug, Zoe. It's been like 4 days. I don't even remember what the call was. Do you?
I do remember that the game changed after that.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I have said many times that the two places you don't really want to play are Baltimore and Buffalo. And here is proof. Other people are starting to wake up to see that it's classic projection. You put things out on the internet using, you know, bots or whatever you need to make it look like Kansas City's getting all the calls, and the refs are kissing Patrick Mahomes and all those wonderful memes that people have put together or bots have put together, when all along it's been Buffalo. And Baltimore needs to look out, because they're going to have to not only contend with the exalted Josh Allen, they're going to have to deal with the referees. And that's just more proof. And if that was Patrick Mahomes, it would have blown up. It was everywhere. I did see the video quite a bit, and I watched the game live, and I'm like, what's this? Because they did it right when they were talking about Jim Nance's 500th broadcast for football. And I think that cameraman probably got fired, because he showed everybody what I and some others know, and you're not supposed to do that. I don't know if it's an NFL mandate coming straight from your boy Roger, but it could be.
So, Lonzo says Josh Allen's a liar, and here's why. Lonzo nor any of the rest of you or me, Lonzo nor any of the rest of you nor me, know what that official was saying to Josh Allen. Now, I will acknowledge that the body language certainly did look, I don't know, I don't want to say apologetic, but certainly did look like he was having like a conversation like, yo, here's where we are. Okay.
There's familiarity with the way he had his hand on Josh's shoulder when he was talking to him. I'm just saying. That's what bros do.
So,
I mean, you know.
The reason that I bring it up is because Josh Allen has talked about this now. Josh Allen has spoken out about this. Josh Allen has had something
to say
about
it. You said his name three times in a row. Way to go, you.
I mean, I could have said it nine because I could have referred to him as Josh Allen three times each time. But I spared you that. Said Josh Allen.
The Chris method. Yes.
So Josh Allen has spoken out about this. And Josh Allen has said, as Josh Allen is the only other person in my life besides me who gets both names referred to as his name. He's not Josh. He's not Allen. He's Josh Allen. I'm not Rob. I'm not Brown. I'm Rob Brown. Josh Allen has spoken out about this, and what he claims happened is that the referee came over to him and told him, hey, dude, stop whining about calls. Quit whining. Stop crying about this stuff. And the reality here is I don't know what was said, and you don't know what was said, and none, Al Michaels doesn't know what was said, Troy Aikman, none of us know what was said. Josh Allen says, yeah, dude, I was pretty upset about a call, and the head ref came over and told me, stop complaining about missed calls.
Why did you throw Al Michaels and Troy Aikman in there?
I don't know. I was just picking random dudes with microphones, and those were the first two that came to my head. I don't have any explanation for it.
They weren't there as far as I know. So, I mean, it could have been in the crowds, I suppose.
None of us know what was said. Josh Allen says it was said, quit crying about calls. Like, you're being too much. And I will acknowledge, even as a Josh Allen guy, that he, along with just about every other quarterback in the National Football League, are wildly demonstrative when calls are made or are not made that they want made or not made, and I do, for the record.
They act like Steph Curry, absolutely.
Patrick Mahomes acts this way.
Like Steph Curry, right.
I'll tell you what, here, just to kind of train the guns for Lonzo here, I blame Tom Brady. Honestly, not that quarterbacks weren't doing it before him, but I don't think there has ever been a quarterback that was more demonstrative in his disappointment with officiating than Tom Brady. I blame this on the GOAT. I blame it on Tom Brady. Here's the thing. I do not think that Josh Allen gets more calls than any other quarterback in the NFL. I think he gets the same rate of calls that Mahomes gets, that Lamar Jackson gets, that any of the star quarterbacks get.
When you get your secret memos, how do you get those?
I mean, facts.
Okay.
Yeah, that way I can destroy them after.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. If they fax them over, I basically take it off the faxer, read it, and then drop it into the shred machine so that nobody else can see it.
I hope you're doing your due diligence. I would hate to see you get reprimanded.
No, Roger tells me what to say. And, you know, I just, bang, committed to memory right there. And then I craft the take when I get in here.
Don't make the mistake Schefter did. I mean,
Josh Allen
gave it all away.
Gets the same calls at his crib that Patrick Mahomes gets at his crib, that Lamar Jackson gets at his crib. And this is the reason that teams will continue to fight to get as much of a home field advantage as they can in the playoffs. Listen. I have said a number of times, I do not think that there is some big-time, deep conspiracy to elevate some teams over other teams in the playoffs. Except that one time the LA Rams got the worst missed penalty in the history of the National Football League. But outside of that, it's never happened
before. You can't be both ways. Either it is or it isn't.
Oh, it's not.
Uh-huh.
Except that one time that it was, and then it definitely was.
Okay.
But outside of that, it's not.
It kills your whole argument. It either is or it isn't.
It isn't, except for that one time that it was. But other than that, it isn't. I don't believe there is some grand conspiracy. I don't think that there's this this working relationship between the NFL and officials to make sure that certain teams get certain calls or whatever. I do believe that there are spots where referees kind of fall into the emotion of the moment. This is another reason I want robo-umps. There's no emotion with a robot, right? But I believe that there are times when officials may get caught up in the emotion of a home crowd, a narrative that's been built, subconsciously or otherwise. Josh Allen says that ref came over, got my face, and told me to quit crying about calls, not apologize to me for missing one. So either you think Josh Allen's getting special treatment and he's a liar, or you think he got told, shut your mouth and play football. And I got to tell you, I'm inclined to believe him in that case because it was a bit dramatic. It was dramatic. I don't think it was any worse than what Mahomes does at the crib or Lamar does at the crib, but it was dramatic.
So you believe he's telling the truth?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I think he got told, shut up, dog.
Of course you
I think
do.
He got told, shut up.
Of course you do.
So you believe he's a liar?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as we're being clear about it.
He's absolutely lying. I mean, you guys think that I'm joking about the special treatment that he gets and you, why you don't want to trade to be a Buffalo. It's absolutely the truth.
All right.
Watch this game against Baltimore. They will do everything they can to make sure Buffalo wins, but they're not going to.
Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Got plenty more we're going to get to on the show. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo. We roll on after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Jay Bird from Duncan texts the show at 844-326-3663. And I do want to point out, you guys have as much control over the show as anybody else. You shoot a text, you got a good take, I'm going to read it on the air. And if it's, if it's real good, you'll get the goal horn. Jay Bird's not getting the goal horn. I just wanted to let you know it's still up there.
Wow.
Just now,
fake the throw
hey,
there.
Listen, yeah, you want the goal horn, you got to earn the goal horn, okay? I don't just hand out for free, okay? But Jay Bird said, Rob, I've been listening to you talk about Sam Darnold for the last half of the season, and I feel like you folded on him like a wet dish rag the last couple of games. Jay Bird, you feel that way because it's true. That is why you feel that way. You feel that way because that's exactly what happened. Sometimes the reality of a situation shines through. And I'll tell you why I folded on Sam Darnold like a wet dish rag. Because I realized after the Detroit game that I fell for the same situation that I told everybody else they were falling for with Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. That's why. Because I realized I made the mistake that I spent the entire last offseason warning Atlanta fans that they were falling for. And that is Minnesota has done an excellent job of building up a wonderful set of skill position players and has a very good offensive system in place. And that has thrown back-to-back average quarterbacks into the mix and allowed them to shine in that system. Now, Sam Darnold did what Sam Darnold did, and you can't take that away from Sam Darnold. Kirk Cousins did in Minnesota what Kirk Cousins did, and you can't take that away from Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins got to Atlanta, and I will acknowledge there are other variables in the equation. I do not believe in Raheem Morris. Atlanta has Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. They have got some dogs down there, but none of them are Jefferson, None of them are Hockenson. None of them are what Minnesota has built up. So I believe that Atlanta thought, let's go get this guy out of Minnesota that had all these numbers, and he'll elevate the guys. And I spent the entire offseason saying, guys, I think you're falling into a trap here. I think Kirk Cousins was made to look good by Minnesota, not Kirk Cousins made Minnesota look good. And I feel like you think he's going to be able to show up in Atlanta and replicate that with the Dirty Birds, and they're just not on the same level. And it looked early in the season like I was going to be wrong. And then we hit the midway point of the season. The Falcons went 1-4 over a five-game stretch, not exactly against the elite competition in the NFL. And in that 1-4, Kirk Cousins threw one touchdown and 9 interceptions over 5 games. And I said, oh, there it is. There it is. And for whatever reason, it didn't click to me. And probably because the Vikings were a 14-win team. Probably because the Vikings were a 14-win team. I said, eh, wait a minute. Maybe, and I will also acknowledge, you can also put this on what Baker Mayfield has done over the past, what, 2 seasons in Tampa Bay. Bringing this team to the playoff twice, winning the NFC South. Though what I did with Tampa Bay is the exact opposite of what I did with Minnesota. I gave Baker all the credit for dragging the Tampa Bay Buccaneers into the playoffs and dismissed the fact that they won that division with 9 games last year. 9 wins last year. And again, they played the Saints, Panthers, and Falcons 6 times, and they got to 9 wins. This year, they won the division with 10 wins, a year in which 2 members of the division went 5-12, and they got 4 games between those 2 teams. I think I may be, and I'm saying this, you guys know how Zoe and I feel about Baker. We're both big fans. But I think that I took Tampa wins a division and elevated them up into there being some level of prestige. And credit to Lonzo, he has tried to, intentionally or unintentionally, I'm not sure, tried to save me from that thought process by repeatedly pointing out that, dog, it's the NFC South. That division sucks. But I kept elevating Baker Mayfield. I kept elevating Tampa Bay. I kept saying, oh, win the division in the playoffs. Win the again, fourth time, was it fourth, fifth time in a row? Win the division again and again and again. Baker's fine. Baker's fine. I'll tell you what makes Baker great. Baker's great because in the fourth quarter of games where a lot of other quarterbacks fade, Baker Mayfield turns into Mike Allstott playing quarterback for some reason. I forget who it was, but in that Week 18 game against New Orleans, wasn't Alante Taylor. Who was it? One of the Saints DBs. Baker ran through a man's chest. I thought I was about to watch a dude explode. And then he got up and he hit the Allen Iverson step over. The most disrespectful move in sports. He hit the step over. Then in the game against Washington, fourth quarter, Tampa Bay's got to do something with the football. Baker's out here running through linebackers. Linebackers. Guys that if Jaden Daniels did that, I'd be like, no! Jaden! Slot! Not Baker. Baker puts the shoulder down, runs over, flat backs a linebacker to pick up a first down. And I love that about the guy. The quarterbacking's good. But again, Baker Mayfield has been elevated, not this year by Mike Evans, but Baker Mayfield's been elevated by having 2 very good wide receivers, a good set of running backs coming through. Bucky Irving has been a revelation for Tampa Bay this year. A good set of skill position guys around him. And gritting out slightly above 500 records for the past couple of years. So, to circle this back around to where we started, the Minnesota Vikings are 14-3 to end the season. And 1-done in the playoffs. Against a team that they were favored against, and it was not a true road game. Yeah, they were down in Arizona, but I believe that crowd was about a 50-50 split of Vikings fans and Rams fans. It was not a road game because everything they had to do, the Rams had to go through too. Get on airplanes, get on buses, stay in hotels, practice in unique facilities, different facilities, yada, yada, yada. And they got not just one and done, but they got smoked. And they got smoked because the Detroit Lions put onto film how you beat Sam Darnold. Blow the Vikings up at the line of scrimmage, get hands in his face, and make him see ghost. And he did. And when I called the shot, we had Monday Night Football a week ago yesterday where the Lions, by the way, not a healthy Lions squad. Maybe, not maybe, definitively the most injured defense in the National Football League. Without Hutch, by the way, as Lonzo accurately pointed out. This team, as depleted as they are on the defensive side of the football, wrecked the Vikings at the line of scrimmage, constantly got pressure in Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold, who was pressured on 52% of his dropbacks, which also tells me, by the way, the Vikings have an offensive line problem. But we know that now.
Sam Darnold could have told you that.
Yeah, I'm sure he could have. 52% of Sam Darnold's dropbacks he was pressured on. Do you know what the result of that was? 53% of Sam Darnold's passes in that game against Detroit were off target. If you get this man under pressure, his accuracy comes down to 50%. When he throws a football, you have a 1 in 2 chance of it being a catchable football. So what the Rams do? Exactly what I said they were going to do on Tuesday of last week, a week ago today. That was the first pick of the wild card round that I made, was Rams upset the Vikings. Because with Jared Verse and with the 7 they put together up front, they can generate pressure. And I think because of the injuries to Detroit, they could generate pressure at the same rate that the Lions did against the Vikings. So what do? You generate pressure. It turns Sam Darnold back into the pumpkin at midnight. And it all goes downhill. That's exactly what they did. And so here's the spot. Do you think, let's plug another quarterback into that spot. And I'm not actively saying that Sam Darnold should be listed with these guys at all. He should not. But if Patrick Mahomes feels pressure like the Rams put on Sam Darnold, what happens? Mahomes gets out of the pocket. He improvises. He comes up with some of those weird-ass throws that he somehow completes because he is also a wizard. And the Chiefs win the game. If I put Josh Allen back there, what happens? Josh Allen finishes that game with 97 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. If I put Lamar Jackson back there, what happens? They give it to Derrick Henry to keep the rush game off and honest, and Lamar runs it off edge for 1,000 yards in that game. Darnold has none of those things, nor does he have the ability to recognize pressure, shift into the pocket, and deliver a consistently catchable football. That's it. So that's why I quote, folded on Sam Darnold like a wet dish rag. Because when the pressure was elevated to playoff stakes, right? When the pressure was elevated to playoff stakes, Sam Darnold regressed. And not a little, like a lot. I also want to point out this. Listen to the back half of this schedule for the Vikings. They lost to the Lions. They lost to the Rams, 2 playoff teams, right? Here's the schedule they finished the season with. The Colts, the Jags, the Titans, the Bears, the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Bears, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Lions. About as beneficial of a back half of the season, Sketty, as you could ask for, right? I don't know how you ask for a better second half than that. You get 2 games against the Bears. They did beat the Cardinals, who were threatening that division, but they beat them 23-22. You got the Seahawks, who were cooked at that point. You beat them by a field goal. You got the Packers, who at that point were locked in. There was no improving where they were going to be in the playoffs, so they did not play all their dudes. You beat them by two, and then you got hammered by the Lions, who were playing for the one seed. I think we all, to some degree, I think we were all sold a false bill of goods. I still think Kevin O'Connell has built one of the best locker room cultures in the game. I still think the Minnesota Vikings are way closer to a Lombardi than about 25 other teams in the National Football League right now. I think what held them back was Sam Darnold. I hate turning on this guy. I have been a cheerleader for Sam Darnold all year, but the Lions put the blueprint out on Sam Darnold. Get pressure on him, collapse a pocket, and he melts in the face of pressure and becomes icy ghost Sam Darnold again. And that's why the Vikings were not just one and done, but one and done in an embarrassing format with the postseason loss 27-9 in a game that, frankly, wasn't that close. All right, when we come back here in a minute, let's talk a little college football. We got your water cooler cheat sheet. Then we'll talk about Tom Allen, the defensive coordinator for the Clemson Tigers, officially hired yesterday. Denton Day of SiriusXM and Kyle Mountain all coming up after Lonzo reads this lovely sports flash.
As you just heard a second ago, Clemson football has made the hiring of defensive coordinator Tom Allen official. Former Indiana head coach spent last season as the DC at Penn State, where his team ranked in the top 10 in rushing defense and scoring defense and led the Nittany Lions to the college football semifinals. Dabo Swinney said in a press conference that Allen is a great football coach and a great leader of men and said Allen was highly recommended. Clemson men's basketball team earned their 14th win, a 70-59 win over Georgia Tech last night. Tigers were led by Jaden Zachary's 21.6 boards and three steals. Tigers had only 2 points off the bench in the win. South Carolina Gamecocks basketball team is back in action tonight at Vanderbilt, trying to end a three-game losing streak to three consecutive top 25 teams, including a two-point heartbreaker against now number one Auburn. Tune in tonight at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the East Tennessee State Buccaneers right here on the Fan Upstate.